testimony. I know I've learned a few things here. I'd like to bring up Sal Rosalvato. Mm-hmm. So there he is, Sal. Executive Director of New Jersey Gasoline C-Store Automotive Association. I know you have to leave pretty soon, so we...
Okay.
You're on.
These are new. I was so disappointed when I looked on my calendar and saw that I had an appointment with a doctor that I just cannot change. So I am going to do this probably quicker than I normally would, just in case you have some questions. But I am very enthusiastic about what this committee is doing. So thank you very much for having me here today. I think it's important for the committee to understand what my background is and why a guy that represents small businesses that sell gasoline is jazzed about hydrogen or any alternate fuel. And I will tell you, my members ask me that question often. But I started as a 20-year-old kid in the gasoline business in 1978. And in 1979, we had the Iran oil embargo. And as a 21-year-old kid, I got a quick crash course in energy, economics, and geopolitical affairs, and have never recovered since then. I knew then that alternate energy was of importance to society as a whole. Didn't matter what the energy was, but something other than fossil fuel. It does not take a genius to figure out that someday there will be a last drop of oil. And I am so grateful for the questions to the last panel at the end regarding that. And I think you could have 100 people up here and you'd have a disagreement amongst all 100 as to when that is going to happen. So to me, from 1979 on, although I was in that business, I was always extremely interested in alternate forms of energy, and of course, anything with the word renewable in front of it. And I discovered back then several things. One of them is ethanol, which is in a lot of the gasoline we use now, but then it was used as an extender. Today it's used to help oxygenate gasoline. But ethanol is renewable. Hydrogen is renewable. Why are those two things renewable? Because as long as it rains and the sun shines, we will have both of those things. We will have ethanol, we will have hydrogen. And if it doesn't rain and the sun doesn't shine, how we move our cars and turn our lights on is going to be the least of our problems. So I have always followed that path. And of course, in the past 10 or 15 years, we've thrown the environmental issue into this, which of course is very important. There isn't anybody that would want to not have safe air to breathe. So whenever we talk about less emissions or zero emissions, we are on the right path. Hydrogen happens to fill both of those things. I am so grateful to the two professors that spoke before me because I never hear anybody say, when we're talking about electric vehicles or even hydrogen vehicles, how do we get the electricity? If we're going to be producing a lot of electricity using fossil fuels to even plug in electric vehicles, the battery electric vehicles, what have we gained? And nobody ever asks that question. And when the hearing today was started with that, I was thrilled. And of course, the question of how do we get the hydrogen? Yes, we can make the hydrogen from water. But the gentleman before me said 80% of it is made from natural gas. Yes, natural gas is cleaner crude oil, and whenever we use it, it's better. But it still falls into someday there will be a last drop of oil, because someday there'll be a last drop of that as well. It took millions of years to create the fossil fuels we have in the earth. And at some point, with disagreement amongst scholars, there will be a last drop of all of it. So unless we can make the energy we use, we will at some point have a problem. I am not scholarly enough to tell you when that's going to be. I am not scholarly enough to tell you how hydrogen is made or any of those things. I can give you some of a background on how ethanol is made. These are renewable. Now, I came here to speak to you today because we have this chicken and egg issue.
One second. I do want to ask a question. How are you defining renewable? You're suggesting that the production of ethanol is a renewable source of energy, because what I thought I heard you say is because the sun shines so we can grow corn or whatever it might be. It's not a renewable energy.
Ethanol is 100% renewable. Here's
how it's renewable.
Renewable is we can always make it.
Then what's not renewable?
We can't make it.
But I mean, under that,
we can't make crude oil, but we can make ethanol.
Of course.
We can make ethanol. We need.
But we can make ethanol by growing corn.
By what?
By growing organic materials.
Any cellulosic material will convert into ethanol.
I'll let you go on, but your definition of renewables is larger. I mean, I understand you could say technically or semantically that is, but that's not what renewable energy is under most people's thoughts about it. It's solar, it's wind, it's geothermal, etc.
Assemblyman, I'm going to agree to disagree. We can always make ethanol as long as we have cellulosic material, not just corn. As long as we have glucose sugar, we can ferment ethanol. And we need to do that, sunshine and rain.
That's a true statement. But anyway, go ahead.
And I would love to have a further conversation in depth with you. It's something that I've been jazzed about for a long time and have been very involved in and consider myself knowledgeable about, more so than hydrogen. I did come here today to speak to you because regardless of what everybody else says here today, and I'm so disappointed I'm not going to be able to hear the rest of the testimony, we have this chicken and egg kind of a thing. And if we don't have people to sell hydrogen, then people aren't going to purchase hydrogen-fueled vehicles because they can't fuel them. And we're not going to get anybody to sell the hydrogen if they don't have any customers to buy it. So we're kind of in that quandary, but we're working our way out of it. And we need to come up with a way, and this is where I would like to be involved. I would like to help identify the potential locations where we can build that infrastructure, because as that infrastructure grows and there is a customer base, each will feed on each other. And I believe that the auto manufacturers have done a great job. The product that they've produced, the cars that they've made, are terrific vehicles. I think people will like them. Yes, they are a bit more costly, but there are a lot of people that will make those investments, but not if they can't buy the hydrogen. The existing infrastructure of gasoline stations around the state, there's close to 2,400 of them. Fueling a car with hydrogen is going to be very similar to fueling it with gasoline. Unlike charging an electric vehicle, that could take a fast charge, could take 20 minutes to a half hour. And even then, you're limited as to what your range will be in the vehicle. We can fuel a hydrogen vehicle in about the same amount of time we fuel a gasoline vehicle. And the range is going to be much greater because it's actually making its own electricity. A hydrogen vehicle is an electric vehicle producing its own electricity. It does become a matter of how do we get the hydrogen and how do we put that infrastructure in place. I believe that a collaboration between government, business, auto manufacturers, and environmental people. I believe that we can come up with a way with one by one starting to put that infrastructure in place. And as we do that, one by one, start to get the customers that will patronize the infrastructure, and that will grow. If we can't do that, and again, my members are very confused. They say, you know, why are you talking about these? We sell gasoline and diesel fuel. And my answer to them is, yeah, but we're not going to stop what's going to happen and how this is going to happen. And we have to be prepared. I use this simple little thing. I say, how do you think all the candle makers felt when they opened up the newspaper and read that Thomas Edison had come up with the electric light bulb? Well, that's the situation we're in selling gasoline and diesel. Someday there will be a last drop of it. And we have other technologies that are emerging that are better in many ways. And you can't stop a better mousetrap. I would like to encourage my members to be prepared, to get the ones that are forward-thinking, to put them in front of the customers and help get them in the chicken and egg mix and remove that. And I'm here to say that I want to be a part of that. My organization wants to be a part of that.
So, you've got 2,400 gas stations. Have you talked to your membership about installing solar panels on the roofs or on their properties to begin to make hydrogen on site? I mean, I've got solar panels in my house. I can put a generator in my car and plug in a hydrogen-powered car, you know, as soon as I got that generator put in my garage or on the side of my house. Are your members prepared? Are they prepared to do to generate hydrogen on site? And indeed, I have to add here, the Wawa station near me has charging stations for electric vehicles. I think we get incentives to provide a way for those charging stations to be made. But are your members prepared, either with the tax incentives or not, to develop these charging stations for hydrogen, just as we see the big Wawas, for instance, putting in electric charging stations on their site?
I would be able to answer that question as no, they are not prepared to generate hydrogen, but I believe I am moving them closer to sell hydrogen, not to generate it. In terms of installing electric charging systems, yes, we do have several members that have done that. I have been very encouraging, and I believe I'm getting some success there. I have had some success getting members to install solar. I use my personal situation. I installed solar on my home almost 4 years ago. It's paid for. And I give the mathematics to my members all the time and say, this is what you need to do at your stores. Use solar for your electricity. To generate hydrogen, I can say without any doubt, no, they are not prepared to generate hydrogen. They would be prepared if we can match them up with the customers. They would be prepared to sell hydrogen that somebody else generates, and have a hydrogen supplier the same as they have a gasoline supplier. That they would be prepared for. I don't believe, and I've never asked, but I don't believe they would be prepared to generate their own hydrogen.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sal. Okay.
Thank you very much for accommodating me.
Sal, how would that be delivered to your gas stations? I'm trying to understand that.
There are gaseous companies now that, you know, sell all kinds of, they sell, you know, oxygen and hydrogen. There are commercial companies that sell, and they would come in with a hydrogen truck and fill the hydrogen tank, just like now a gasoline truck comes and fills our gasoline tanks.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairman, for accommodating my schedule. I appreciate it. and I apologize, and I'm greatly disappointed. I can't be here for the rest. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming, and we appreciate your testimony. I'm going to bring Peg.